Jesu uyadlula ngalapha ngalapha namhlanje uJesu uyadlula ngalapha uyadlula lapha namhlanje. Jesus is passing this way, this way. Jesus is passing this way, he's passing this way today. He's passing your way today. He's passing your way today. Are you sick this morning? He's passing. He's passing your way today. Are you weary? Are you tired? Are you exhausted? Are you at the point of breakdown? John is passing. He's passing this way today. Luke chapter 18 from this. Oh, the Holy Spirit. Can anyone feel this this morning? Ah. Okay, I hope he's going to let me share this message. I did a lot of preparing for it. Lord, have your way. Have your way this morning, oh God. Not my will, but yours. Do what you do best. Do what only you can do. Not my agenda this morning, but yours, God. As Mary said, I am the maidservant of the Lord. May it be according to your will. Hear your people this morning, waiting for a visitation, waiting for a touch. Do something, God, this morning. Something we've not experienced before. Take us out of our usual norm. Let's experience you in a way that we've never experienced you before. Luke chapter 18, verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain man blind sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do? And
to thee.
And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Hallelujah. John chapter 9, from verse 1. And it came to pass, and Jesus passed by. He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciple asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and he came seeing. The title of my message this morning is, Lord, that I may see. So I've shared two scriptures. So there's blind man number one, which is the first scripture that I've shared. And then there's blind man number two. So that's what we're going to call them. So blind man number one. It says there was a certain man. There's not even a name given to him. A certain man who was blind. Not only was he blind, but he sat by the wayside. Just by the wayside, begging. Talking about blindness this morning, church. I'm talking about the inability to see, the inability to understand and to perceive. And when we are blind, we are not even recognized. When we are blind, all we do is sit by the side and beg. And my question this morning is, where is your blindness? Where is that area in your life that has put you on the side? Where is that area of your life where you are stuck and you're unable to move? Jesus is passing your way today. So this certain man, he sits there and he's begging, and then he hears a multitude passing by. And I'm wondering whether he's heard a lot of people passing by, because I'm guessing that's where he sat all the time. But there was something about this noise that was different. There was something that got him curious on that day. It wasn't the normal multitude. Something was happening. He couldn't see it because he was blind. Oh, church, unless we open our eyes to see, we're going to miss some stuff. We're going to miss what God has for us. We're going to miss our miracles. And this blind man says, what's happening? What is going on? He was relying on other people that can see to tell him what's going on. Do we know what's going on, church? Do we know what's going on in the world? Do we know what's going on in our own bodies? Do we know what's going on in our own homes with our children locked on gadgets? Oh, Lord, that we may see. Do we know what's going on in our church? If we don't, let's get curious. If we can't see, let's ask. What is going on, he said. Someone tell me what is going on. I'm sensing something. Something is different. The noise is different. And he says, tell me what is going on. And so they told him, they said, Jesus of Nazareth is passing this way. what did he do? He began to shout. He says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. We can only shout. We can only pray when we know what is happening. We can play all the worship songs we can. But if we have no connection of what is happening and who is in the room, we're just going to let it pass by. He says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Can you start working with me first? Work with my blindness. Because I'm tired of being sidelined. I'm tired of begging. I'm tired of being called a certain name. Nobody remembers my name. I'm tired of living in that blindness. I want to be seen. I want to be heard. And so they tell that blind man to keep quiet. They said, shh. What's shushing you? What is shushing us as Christians? Now we know that's what's happening in the world. Does it not move us? Why are we quiet? Where is the church? Where is this church in the times we are living in? A week doesn't go by when a 16-year-old hasn't stabbed another 16-year-old. Where is the church? Why are we quiet? Why have we allowed the world to keep us quiet? They said, shh. Sickness is having a field day in our church, in our families. We can't be quiet. We can't be quiet. Because if we are quiet, we're not going to get our sight back to be able to see the things that we need to be speaking against. Death is sneaking in our families. The enemy is playing around with our minds, struggling with depression, struggling with mental health. Why are we quiet? The blind man refused to be quiet because he was tired of being blind. He was tired of relying on people to move him from one spot to the other. He was tired of being on the sideline. And so he said, I'm going to shout even louder. Oh, any parents in the room? Any parents in the room? Can I see hands? It's time to shout louder. For your children. It's not a funny generation we're living in right now. The enemy wants to take away our children. It's time to shout louder for our children. Any husbands? Any married couples? We have to stop the enemy from divorces. No, 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 no. It's enough now. It's enough now. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Let the world not shush you as a husband to stand up and pray for your family, to love your wife as Christ has loved the church. There is a reason for that verse. There is a reason for marriage. There is a reason why the enemy wants to attack marriages. It's not just a fun game for him. It's to destroy the plan of God. Oh, Rose said last week, I'm getting angry at what the enemy is doing about the health. It's time for us to get angry, church. It's time for us to get tired of being blind. It's time for us to start to do something. Unless we don't know the Jesus we are talking about. Unless we've forgotten who he is. We can't keep going like this. We need women to groan and cry and call out for our children in prayer. Where are the intercessors of the church? Where are the intercessors of this generation? We want to see tears, sleepless nights of saying, no, 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 no. So the blind man, he shouted, and Jesus stood. I called and he answered. He's a God who answers. I have not known that he doesn't answer. I am yet to discover that he doesn't answer, but I know he says, he's the one who says, call on me and I will answer. And so the blind man called, he persisted until he got Jesus to stop right here. And Jesus says, what is it that you want me to do for you? Mama, did you hear that? He said, tell me. What is it that you want me to do for you? I wonder whether he says this every Sunday when we worship and we lift our hands. He says, what is it that you want me to do for you? Because he wants to do something for you. He wants to do something for you. He asks as if it's not obvious what the blind man would want. But Irene, we need to start to speak. We need to start to confess. We need to name it. What is it that we want? Now that we know what's going on around us, now that we've heard that he's in the room, what is it that we want him to do for us? And the blind man says, Lord, that I may see. Oh, God. Can this be our prayer for 2024? Can this be our prayer every day? You say, Rachel, Lord, that I can see. I can see my marriage. Because unless you see it, Rachel, Lord, that I may see. Leaders of Riverside Church, what if you prayed this prayer? Lord, that I may see. Because how do I lead the church when I'm blind? How do I lead the church when I cannot see where I'm going? There are dark parts in my area, God. Unless you step in and bring in the light, I am just walking with the stick and hoping to get somewhere. But I can't do this in 2024. I can't keep doing this. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of being stuck. I'm tired of not growing. Pat, you said we can't put God in a box. He doesn't want us in a box either. But how do we get out of that box? If we can't see. Lord, that I may see. I took my son Johnny last year to Manchester to watch a rugby match. And when we were coming back, because I'm not used to Manchester, I was driving and I missed a turn. And I just kept going round and round in circles. And each time I came to it, I missed it. And I have problems with driving at night. It was dark then. I had the sat nav, like you would have the Bible, telling you where to go, telling you to turn left, but you turn right. Telling you to take the second left. John, you take the first. And I just kept going round and round. And in the end, I was determined I was going to get the right turn because I was getting really angry and frustrated. And so I turned, and guess what? I turned into oncoming traffic. Oh, Lord, that we may see. Can you see where we are heading to if we don't open our eyes? Can you see what would happen? My son at the back says, Mom, you're going the wrong way. Look, there's traffic, and someone is flashing. And I immediately made a turn. Parents, we're going to kill our kids. We need eyes to see. We need vision. Do you remember Hannah? Hannah prayed and said, Lord, if you give me Samuel, I'm going to give him back to you. She prayed with eyes that could see. What if we saw the future of our children and we placed them where they need to be and not drive them into oncoming traffic? Oh, Lord, that we may see. Everyone still okay? Okay. Gear four. Oh, God. Yes, 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 Holy Spirit. I can do this, I can do this. Blind man number two. The disciples ask Jesus and they say, Lord, why is this man born blind? Who sinned? Is it him? Or is it his parents? Sometimes we spend too long trying to figure things out, isn't it? We spend too long trying to work out who did what and when. We struggle to move forward because we just want to know who was right and who was wrong. Doesn't really matter. Right now, right here, 2024, it doesn't matter who was right and who was wrong, who sinned and who didn't sin. I don't know what brings you today. I don't know what caused your dark situations. I don't know why you are struggling. I don't know why you've been stuck in that corner for too long. I don't know why you've been begging. But this is what I know. Jesus, the light of the world, is here. And he's saying, what is it that I can do for you? Who sinned, Lord? Is it me? That my marriage didn't work out? Is it him? Is it his parents? We spend just too much time. Our church, who was it? Is it them? Is it us? 2024, God wants to move us on. He says, no other his parents, nor him that sinned, none of them. But there's some work I want to do in you. I'm not talking about how you got to your darkness. I'm not talking about how you got to be unwell. I'm not talking about how your marriage didn't work out. I'm talking about I'm here right now as Jesus. And what I want to do in you, what I want to do in you through the stuff that you've been through that darkness, I want my works to be glorified. That's what I want to do. Through everything that has happened, I want to use it. I want to use all of that stuff. And he says to the blind man, he spits on the ground and there's mud, and he asks him to rub his eyes. Oh my God. That's messy, isn't it? He really wanted to be well. He really wanted to see, to have to go through the mud and the spit. And some of us, we're going to have to go through that to get to our healing. I would love it to be like blind man number one, where Jesus just shows up and says, get your sight back. But some of us, we need to sort out the mess. It's going to be a bit messy. But you've got to bear with Jesus. Don't give up because there's spit and mud in your face. Just keep going with the Lord. And then Jesus says, go and wash. The embarrassment. One, I can't see. Two, I'm muddy. What are people going to say? I look like I'm crazy. Or is anyone who's willing to be crazy for Jesus? Is there anyone who will really be messy and muddy, but knowing that at the end of it all, I'm going to get my sight back? Some of our stuff's a real mess. But God can deal with the mess in our lives. He doesn't really care what got us there. All he wants to do, wipe that mess says, go and wash. And Becky, there might need to be some steps that you need to take. It's not going to come to you. You might need to take some steps towards the water. There's going to need to be some doing on your part. The mess that we found ourselves in as a church, we might need to be okay for a moment whilst we are muddy. Whilst we are muddy, but we are getting somewhere. As long as we are moving, as long as we are moving towards the water, that's okay. That's okay. Let's bear with the mess. I'm reminded of Lazarus when Jesus showed up and he was dead for 3 days. And he said to Martha, show me where you've laid him. And Martha's like, stinks in there. I ain't going to open it up. But you've got to allow God to deal with that stinkiness. The things that you have shut down for many years. For your eyes to be opened, there might need to be an opening of the tomb. And it will stink. But that's okay. That's okay. Because we know what the end of it all is. You see, Martha tried to stop Jesus because she was blind. She couldn't see past Lazarus' death. Let's not let Jesus pass us by. Let's not stop him from doing what he wants to do in his miracles. Let's not put barriers. Let Jesus do what he can do. Let him open the eyes of the blind. Speak, Holy Spirit. So he went and he washed his eyes and he was able to see. I don't know what it felt like when he suddenly opened his eyes and he could see. Wonder what it will feel like when God opens our eyes. We see deeper than we've ever seen before. We become wiser than we've ever been wiser before. We stop falling on traps all the time. We stop going round and round in circles. We stop missing the turns because now we've got eyes that we can see. How will that be as a church when we come in the morning with eyes that can see? Oh, when you see Jesus, your life can never be the same. They asked the blind man, they said, are you not the one who sat begging? Some said, well, he looks like him. They're going to say that about you, Rach. They're going to say that about you, Sandra. I was going to say, is she the one? Blind man said, I am the one. Are you the one? Are you the one, Josie? God is going to raise up, that God is going to put right up there. When you have been sidelined, God is like, time is up. I've got better plans that I have for you. I'm not going to sideline you anymore. I'm going to open up your eyes so you can see bigger and better in the things that I've called you to see. Lena, are you going to be the one whose God is going to open the eyes? Are you going to have a testimony like the blind man and say, yes, I was that person who sat by the wayside and cried. But when I met Jesus, my life changed. Are you going to be the one that your neighbors are going to be asking, is he the one? Are you the one that the Pharisees are going to be asking, is he the one? Are they going to look for your parents and say, can you confirm that this is the person that you gave birth to and that you were blind? How come now they can see? It's testimony time. It's testimony time. And that's why God heals. That's why God was not so concerned about who sinned, the parents or him. God was concerned about healing that person so that then you become a mouthpiece for him. Don't get tired of saying your testimony. The blind man said it over and over again. Yes, it's me. This man took mud and he spit on the mud and he put it in my face and he told me to go and wash. He said it over and over again. We need your testimony. We need your testimony. Open the eyes of the blind so that we can see you, God. Show us what's happening around us. Because unless we know what's happening around us, it's quite difficult to know how to pray. When we know what's happening around us, we know where to aim and what to pray for, and we know what to ask for. So when you come to us and say, what is it that you want me to do for you? We know, because we know what's happening in our surroundings, in our neighborhood, on television, in the country. We are not firing blanks when we pray, but we know, because our eyes are opened. Okay, I'm about to close. I'll close with this lovely story. Lord, that we may see. Okay. I am doing a course in child development, and part of my course was to observe an infant from the time they were born to 2 years. So I had a privilege of visiting the family for over 2 years, weekly, sitting and just staring at the baby. Really amazing experience. I wasn't allowed to talk to the baby. I wasn't allowed to carry the baby. All I needed to do was to sit and watch. And so one day, I think the baby was about 6 months old, and I walked in and I said, hello, baby, really excited. And she had a toy in her hand, and she just dropped her toy. And she had this look of being terrified. And she looked towards her mother with her hands lifted up, and she began to cry. Oh, who's going to cry for the Lord today? And so the mother doesn't pick her up. You see, sometimes God is not going to just pick you up each time you cry. Let me tell you what the mother does. The mother leans forward and looks into the baby's eyes. And he says, baby, this is shine. The baby's staring at mom, still with hands lifted up, gesturing for mom to pick her up and take her away from this terrifying thing that's just appeared in front of her face. And mom repeats again, baby, this is shine. And the baby puts the hand slowly down and turns towards me and smiles. What happened there? I was terrifying at that moment. But what changed? For the baby to look at me and smile. Let me tell you what I think happened. I think mom looked into the baby's eyes, and the baby saw her own reflection in the mother's eyes and remembered who she was and whose she was. Something in the mother's eyes gave her the strength to look at the giant and see a grasshopper. Something in the mother's eyes, or that voice of the mother saying, baby, it's shine. It meant greater is he that is in you than the one who is in the world. I have not given you a spirit of fear. I've given you a spirit of love and of sound mind. And those words gave the baby the confidence and the strength to say, I can look at those giants and I'm not going to be afraid. I wonder whether this morning we can grab hold of the eyes of the Father. I wonder whether when we get to a place of our terrified state in life, we can just go and turn our bodies and turn our eyes towards him with our hands gestured up and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. I wonder whether we can do that. When we can get to his eyes and find that strength to look at those illnesses that was look so terrifying and laugh. Open the eyes, Lord. Open our eyes that we may see. Can all stand, please. don't know whether we have music. I know that the Holy Spirit had already started healing this morning. Okay. So just want to press into that healing. Simon, do you know that song that says, "Let your living waters flow over my soul"? Well, you don't know how to. No, okay, that's fine. I'll pray the song. But this is what I want to ask of the Lord this morning for us. By his living waters can flow over our soul. That the Holy Spirit can come and take control of everything that has troubled us. That we can bring all our cares and burdens unto him. That we can call on his name louder and louder and louder each time and be so persistent until Jesus stops at our pain, stops at our struggles, stops at our difficulties. Because unless we see, we never really get to go anywhere. Holy Spirit, do what you only can do. You say, Lord, that your word does not return to you void, but it has to accomplish that which you purpose. I stand in the gap this morning, Lord, and I say, Lord, I heard the hearts of your people crying out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us." In this room today, Lord, I hear the cries of mothers said, "Lord, show us how to parent. Show us how to pray for our children." I hear the cry of husbands, Lord, saying, "We want to stand up. We want to be men after your own heart. We want to lead our families. We want to be example to the world of what you intended when you said there should be marriage." Lord, we are done with doing worldly stuff. We are done with working with worldly standards. Lord, we are tired of being quiet. We've been quiet for too long. The stuff that's made us quiet for too long. We've not been able to step up in our gifts because we have been quiet for too long. The enemy wants us exactly there. Shh, says the enemy.